Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word, a word that continues to grow and live in and through us. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Justin for the opportunity to preach today, although after I'm done, maybe he won't wish he had. So I was reading this text, and after I looked at the text, I thought, of course, that's why he wanted me to preach, right? I'm kidding. But I was thinking about Jesus talking about this today. And so does anybody remember the first check they ever got, the first time they ever worked, right? Maybe you were 16, maybe it was after high school or after college, your first check, right? And you get it, and you're like, I worked all these hours. It's going to be so big. And you're like, I'm going to get this big meal, or I'm going to get a new outfit, or maybe a new TV. It's going to be so great. And so you open it, right? You're really excited. You worked all those hours. You get it, and you look at it, and that's not right. That's not the right number. Like, there's supposed to be more zeros than there is on it. I don't understand. Maybe it's an accounting error, right? The accountant department got it wrong. You know, they missed a couple hours. And then you flip to that dreaded check stub, and you look at it. Taxes. Federal tax, local tax, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, all those things. And then you see the number that your check would have been without those. Not what we wanted, those dreaded taxes. And the thought of that nice dinner, the new outfit, and the television all go out the window. Give unto Caesar what is due him. The religious leaders are putting Jesus into an impossible situation, if you think about it, right? If Jesus says, yes, we should give Caesar your taxes, your tribute, your hard-earned money, then he's basically saying to his followers, I support the government of Rome, their tyranny. Not really the message the Messiah would bring. But if he says, no, don't pay your taxes, that's not good either. He's calling out Rome, he's being a bad citizen, and he's possibly inciting violence and rebellion. So the religious leaders think they have him in a bind, no matter what he says. I imagine it's like when a woman asks his wife, or his wife asks him, do I look good in this dress? Well, if you say no, you're in trouble, obviously. But if you say yes, she might not believe you. But Jesus is smarter than the religious leaders give him credit for. He answers, give unto Caesar's what is due him. Pay your taxes, because that is what a good citizen does. Jesus isn't saying you shouldn't follow the rules. You should pay your taxes. Like I told the kids, you should stop at red lights. It's good things. They're necessary to provide a stable society. And the government is necessary, right? To help provide order and rules and benefits that make our lives a little less stressful. Well, they're supposed to do that anyway. And so part of our responsibility is to be good citizens. So Jesus says we pay our taxes, we follow the law. And that's an essential part, even as Christians, right? Being a community together, helping one another, living together, protecting each other. But I think Jesus' response is also interesting because it prompts a question of what happens when giving unto Caesar gets caught in the way of giving unto God. That's the conundrum, right? What is the difference between giving unto Caesar and giving unto God? How do we render unto Caesar's? What is Caesar's? If doing so is in contrast to Christ's call to love and serve. Do the two ever come into conflict, and what do we do when it happens? That's another trick question, right? Because whatever we answer, it's complicated. It's like in order to be a good citizen, follow all the rules and conduct, we must do so. But what if doing so, supporting laws, come at the cost of caring for the poor or those in need? I saw a great commercial last night. I was watching the Penn State game. Or there was more commercials than football game. And it was a test they did, right? So they had this guy dressed in, I think he was in Louisiana State University gear, and they were on the side of a road and their truck was broke down. So they did it during a Alabama game with them. So they tested to see if Alabama fans would stop and help these people decked out in Louisiana gear. Amazingly, they did. The Alabama people came over, helped them with their car, and then they swapped, right? They put the person in Alabama gear on the side of the road to see if Louisiana people would stop. And they did. They stopped and helped them. And the guy doing the test said to the other guy, "I didn't think you would stop because of my, you know, I was wearing this other team and we're bitter rivals." And the guy said, "Of course I would stop. Your team support does not, that shouldn't conflict with my helping you." And it reminds me of the Good Samaritan, right? Another story kind of similar. The priest and others walk by the man in the ditch because he's unclean. And they're not supposed to touch him. That would be against their rules, against society norms. And they could put their lives at risk doing so as well. But the Samaritan ignores all those rules and first shows love and care. In Jesus' time, in the early Christian time, if you didn't sacrifice and pledge allegiance to the emperor, you were considered a bad citizen. And many Christians were put to death for doing so. Was it right for them not to do what was considered the norm? Or was it right for them to give only to God? We have so many examples of this in our Christian heritage, right? From Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up to Hitler and the Third Reich. Were his actions the actions of a bad citizen? Or the actions of a strong belief that stopping the violence was more important? Or Martin Luther King Jr., whose actions were against a legal system set into place, but a system that mistreated thousands of people based on the color of their skin. Was it the result of a bad citizen that he stood up and spoke out, or was it out of a call to care and love as God calls us to do? Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but give unto God what is God's. We are called to love and serve one another. But the question is, how do we do so while still living in this world, in this nation, or in this community? When Jesus says, give unto Caesar, he isn't saying we should simply allow injustice to occur. Because we know Jesus did no such thing, right? Jesus says, give unto Caesar's, but it didn't stop him from speaking out, from loving. Jesus says, yes, we should honor the law, but our call is first and foremost as the people of God to love and serve one another. And if you ask me to do something that contradicts with that, then I will fight you to make sure people are cared for and loved, which is what Jesus does, right? Jesus doesn't violently overthrow the Romans as others wanted. He doesn't do any of that. He simply lives out the call to love and serve through acts of love and grace. He heals the blind man. He cures the bleeding woman. He even heals the centurion's servant. And in his most important act against Rome, he rises again on the third day after they killed him. Jesus used the most powerful gifts of love to move the world. That is how he rendered unto God what was God's. That is how, in the midst of Roman rule, he lived out his call. We're all called to be good citizens, right? To respect the law, to stop at the red light, to respect others' privacy, to pay our taxes. But being a good citizen doesn't matter if it asks us to sacrifice our call to love and serve one another. It can be easy to say we must always follow the rules. But as Christians, it isn't who we are called to be. We're followers of a radical faith that's based on the radical actions of a man who defied the norms, who defied an empire. We're inheritors of that faith, of that challenge to love one another first and foremost, to be bold proclaimers in the midst of leaders and friends and family who might not like what we have to say. We are called to be a people who sometimes say the unpopular things, who challenge the powerful and wealthy, just as Christ did. We are compelled by God's love to be that love in the world, to help that person in the ditch, no matter what society says, no matter what football team they support. At the heart of Jesus' message was the call to care and love, no matter what the rules say, no matter what rulers it made angry, no matter who the person was. Jesus knew this love would ruffle feathers. He knew it might mean death, but that message of God's love in the midst and in spite of hate and suffering and violence was more important. A love that surpasses all national, ethnic, gender, and racial barriers. A love that, even to this day, still angers nations and empires and kings. Love one another as I have loved you. That is a part of our call. A call that all people should be cared and loved for. That we should strive for that in this world. It is a call to live as a people of the radical, loving God. It's a call to sometimes radically change the world in a big way, or sometimes in a small way, just like caring for those around us. Even if they are an Ohio State or Patriots fan. So we give unto Caesar's what is due Caesar. But we do so by never forgetting or giving up the call to love and serve one another, no matter what the cost. Amen.